You're listening to a sermon from Heights Church, located in Minneapolis, Minnesota. For more information on our church, please visit heightschurchmn.org.
In your Bibles, if you want to turn to the scripture we read in James chapter 1, we're going to be looking through a portion of that today. And we are talking in this portion of our multiplied discipleship, we're talking about studying the Word. Last week, Pastor Vicki looked at why do we study the Word, and our discussion groups centered around that question. This week, we're going to look at studying the Bible prayerfully. And then next week, Pastor Brenna is going to be looking at studying the Bible logically and some tools that we can have in our lives. And Multiply is, again, this discipleship series that we're going through to take us through very purposefully as a church, just the basics of who we are in Christ. And we've focused on what is a disciple, what is the church. Now we're into how to study the Bible. And then we're going to go through these massive sections of the story of the Old Testament and the New Testament. With our multiply groups, you're free to jump in at any particular point in time. If you're not attached to a group, or if you want to do something more one-on-one, you're welcome to do that. Pastor Vicki is helping head those groups up and leading. And so you can touch base with her in getting connected. But part of our mentality of multiply is to understand that, you know, it's this multiplication process in discipleship, multiplication process in church services, multiplication process as a church, and so as we go through, we are working to engage, you know, each of us, and then we're focusing in on larger chunks of scripture to be reading. So like this week, you'll be working through, you can read through the book of James if you just take a chapter a day. And then at the end is Proverbs 1. And then we have resources. And again, this week especially, on this week's posting on heightschurchmn.org, if you go to the resource page, this week's posting, I put a lot of resources of our current reading, and then some other things on how to study the Bible, and just some resources to help us engage the Scripture. Every week we want to engage Scripture. We don't want to be just students of the Word. We don't want to be just readers of the Word. We want to be students of the Word. We want to be great students of the Word. We want to have an ability to engage the Word a bit more carefully. This week, we're talking about engaging the Word prayerfully. We always need prayer in the mix. Prayer is what can help stir up hunger. Prayer is what can help stir up a longing to understand. The Scripture engages us with the Word in prayer. We want to always have in front of us that no matter how we engage the Scripture, what kind of engagement we have with how we're going to study the Bible, we always want to have in that mix prayer. I can engage the Word at all kinds of levels, from simple devotion, prayerful devotions, to word studies. I'm not at the geeky scholarly level, but I can engage with some depth. But over the years, it's this hunger for the Word that I've had that has driven me to a level of I want to have as much engagement with the Word as I can possibly get. You know, I want to know the meanings of words and the meanings of sentences and how how Paul puts together a letter and how a prophet prophesies, and I want to know that. And it all begins with this prayerful attitude of, Lord, I just want to engage the best way I can, the clearest way that you can communicate to us, and that's through the Word. It all begins with prayer, you know. And so as I was walking through this last week and praying about what to share, The question is that I have in my mind is, where have I come in prayerful study? And there are so many stories over the years that I can share about how the Word and prayer changed my life and my ministry. All that I do in life and in ministry flows out of prayerful engagement with the Word. You know, what we're doing currently in changing up ministry and how we're thinking about engaging with using a coffee shop and a smaller space and how we're going to engage culture, all of that comes out of this prayerful engagement of the Word. It's not just something like, oh, well, let's just try this. You know, it's prayerful engagement of this is what we need to be doing. You know, and it's trying to lead us through this process of understanding what gets us engaged in the world, and if we have to be engaged in the Word to do that. Hunger began for me. Hunger for the Word began for me growing up in church. You know, and I was thankful. I grew up in a small church, and we had children's church and Sunday school and all of those things, and we always had, just like here, we had volunteers, you know, and stuff. And my dad was always tough on me. We'd always play these games, you know, and so when him and my mom were doing the you know, the children's church, it'd be, you know, try to guess a biblical character, you know, and so they'd pin a name on someone on their back and turn them around, and everybody looks at it. All the kids look at it, and then they turn them around, and then they kind of throw out clues so the person can guess, you know, who they are. So, you know, like it'd be David or Joseph or the Apostle Paul or something like that. And my dad would put on my back Mephibosheth. You know, and I'm just like, he's like, well, you know who that is. And I'm like, I do. No one else does. You know, so you put that name on my back, you know, and he'd spin me around. And then I turn around and look at everybody. And everybody's like, I'm like, you gave him Mephibosheth, didn't you? You know, I just stop that, you know. But I grew up loving the Word. And where hunger for the Word really took hold was, you know, somewhere in junior high and high school. It was getting involved with Bible quiz, and that was in a day when we were quizzing with the King James Bible. You know, memorize all these verses in King James and stuff, and then in high school it was just this deep desire, and it wasn't like, you know, the resources were readily available, you know, and so it was getting up at 5:30 in the morning and watching. You know, this Bible study thing on TV that some TV ministry was doing. And I look back on that and I'm like, man, that was awful stuff. You know, I'm like, what? You know, but I was just so hungry. I wanted anything, you know, I longed to know. I was hooked. You know, I memorized these passages of Scripture in the King James and version, and just try to, you know, absorb and, you know, try to engage with books. And back then it was just basically, you know, if you heard somebody on the radio, they must be a good teacher, so you bought their books, you know, and you find out, well, they're not so great, you know. But whatever I could do to engage the Word, I did. And then once I got into Bible college, it was gaining tools to help me have a lifetime hunger for the Word. You know, and it was Don Meyer, who was a vice president at our school at the time. He's now president of University of Valley Forge in Pennsylvania. And it was taking his Bible study methods class one summer that just it continued to ignite my hunger for the Word. And the story hopefully never stops. You know, no matter what the level, I want each of us engaged in some way with prayerful study of the Word. You know, and if you have no idea what to do, simply take our weekly readings and start there. You know, we have handouts for our weekly readings, and I try to put in there what the reading is for this week. Then we Ben found a resource where all of the readings for all the multiply lessons are on a sheet. We've got a sheet for that, so if you're into checking off boxes, check away. You know, it's like, there it is, you know. You know, and so, so the handouts and then the resources online where we're, you know, I just want to try to keep us engaged with the scripture and just to simply start there, you know. But what I really want you to remember today is soap. That's what I want you to remember today. So, David, could you help me out? I'd like everybody to have a bar of soap.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Not because you need it in one way, but I want you to remember, Bob, if maybe you could help with that too. I want you to remember, and you could do with it whatever you want after, except leave it here, okay? Just go throw it away somewhere out here. I want you to remember the acronym SOAP. And, you know, I sure hope you use soap in some way. But we're going to talk about it today in engaging the Word, okay? And how to engage the Scripture. And so it's just a simple acronym. And then I want to walk you through it in this with just the simple understanding of just a simple thing of where we were in our reading today in James chapter 1. So SOAP, it's just the acronym S-O-A-P, you know. So S is for Scripture, you know, and that's just simply where you are going to open up the Bible to the reading for the day. It could be the reading for Multiply. It could be another reading program that you're on. But it's to take time. Scripture is just simply on a regular basis. You want to open up Scripture and take the time for the Word. Okay. Now here's the thing. You know, you want to set aside time to do it. If you happen to miss a day, like the heavens don't open and lightning comes down and strikes you, okay? You know, it's not that you don't beat yourself up, okay? It's the understanding of if you missed it today, don't beat yourself up and go, oh, then forget it. You know, I'll never study for 30 more days, you know, or anything. Just the next day, start, okay? Just start. Yeah. And if you, I didn't get the James 1 today. And so don't try and do James 1 and James 2 tomorrow. Just start with James 1, you know, and just start, you know, and then, you know, take the time to read and to allow God to speak to you. Just start with prayer. Lord, I want to engage your Word and I want you to speak to me. And then as you engage that Word, so for instance, if you read James 1, you know, when you're done, look for a verse or a phrase that particularly spoke to you and just jot it down. Just have a piece of paper with you or a journal with you where you can just jot it down and then ask the Spirit to open up the Word to you. Now, here's the other thing I want you to realize. If you are, like, for instance, reading in James 1, and you get down to verse 3, and something just really stands out to you, and you go, oh, that's just great, you know. Don't try to say, oh, I got to get to the rest of the verses, okay? You know, it's not like the rest of James 1 will dissolve out of your Bible if you don't read the rest of it, okay? It's unbelievable. Tomorrow, verse 4 will be there. It's miraculous. It's a gift from God, okay? Sometimes we're in a hurry to check a list off, okay? So if verse 3 is it, just stay on verse 3, you know? Just, there it is. Just go for it, okay? And, if you find a verse quickly, just stay on it. Don't be in a hurry. Prayerfully walk through the passage if you're reading it, okay? It may take more than one trip through, okay? You know, if you read all the way through the reading for the day and you think, wow, nothing, you know, guess what? Read it again. You know, again, the words won't dissolve. Your retinas won't burn, okay? You know, your eyes won't, you know. Read the passage again. Something like James 1, I'm just telling you, there's something there, okay, for the Spirit to speak. You know, it's not like, you know, 1 Chronicles 3 or something like that, where you know all the genealogies and all this stuff. There's something there, okay? Just read it again. Don't be in a hurry, okay? Just stay with it. And if you're reading through and you start and you go, man, I just don't get anything and I'm out of time, I got to get going. When you come back tomorrow, start there again. Just stay at it. Just have the ability to stay at it, you know. And if you know, if you stay with James 1 all week, my question to you is what's your hurry? You know, it's not a race to get through, you know, the whole New Testament in 3 months. Okay, it's what does the Lord want to say? So wherever that scripture is that you're in, just stay with it, pray, and say, Lord, I want you to speak to me, and you know, and find different ways. You can read it. You can read it out loud. You can listen to it. Some people that they can hear and it just clicks with them. Have someone else read it to you. You know, give it to someone on the bus. Hey, could you read this for me? Engage it. Okay, engage it. You know, find a Bible translation that you're very comfortable with that you can read easily and. You know, and be able to engage the word. It starts with scripture. Friends, this is life, okay? This is life. I am so thankful for, you know, all the years of being able to engage scripture, and I'm so thankful I haven't felt like it was a race, you know, to feel like, oh, I got to get through all the New Testament, and then I get done, I go, oh, no, what do I do, you know? I was like, well, you go through it again, you know, and again, and there's just depth there. So S is for scripture. O is for observation. O is for observation. You know, what do you think God is saying to you in this scripture? And ask the Holy Spirit to teach you. Ask that Jesus would be revealed to you. You know, and again, it's engage the scripture in different ways. It may be to paraphrase it. It may be to write it out, you know. There was one day this week where there was just a particular passage, and I just wrote it, you know, just a couple of verses that stood out to me. You know, I wish I was a little more artistic that way, but, you know, it's like writing in block letters and underline and an arrow and just stick drawings, really, you know. But when I add another thing to the routine, when I get my body in motion, it adds something to help me remember, you know. And so, you know, you want to observe. So it could be paraphrasing the passage. It could be praying it back to the Lord. It's helpful. It could be praying your prayers. Sometimes you may want to write down your prayers. But just find ways to make the observations. Then A is for application. Application, personalize what you have read. Ask yourself, how does this apply in my life right now? How does this apply in my life right now? What is to be done? What action should I be taking? What prayer could I be praying? You know, what's the next step? Is there something the Spirit is wanting to do to bring correction or to bring just to bring enjoyment? You know, what's the Spirit saying? And you want to write that application in your journal as well. And then simply P is for prayer. And it can be simple. It can be simple, like asking God to help you use this scripture, or it may be a greater insight on what He may be revealing to you. But the other thing about this is when you pray, listen. Listen, okay? Don't just pray something back to the Lord. Pray, ask, stop, listen, okay? See what the Spirit wants to do. So let me give you just an example from reading James 1 where we read today, you know. And so, you know, and it's talking about the word. And, it, you know, verse 22, it says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. And anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what that they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. And I got to verse 25, and that phrase, but whoever looks intently into the perfect law, you know, and so just again, some of the tools that I have that I can engage with, you know, and that look intently is this understanding of you stop And even, I mean, it's like you actually, if it's like at a low, like something you find on the ground, you bend over and you look at it. You're like, what's going on? You stop and you give your focus to it and you give some attention to it. You don't just go on by and go, oh, look at that. You know, it's like intentionally engaging in it, you know, and he compares it. James compares it to, you know, if somebody just kind of looks, you know, as they go by a mirror, or if somebody looks intently in the mirror to make sure that, you know, everything's right, you know. At my age, I just kind of pass by a mirror, you know. I don't want to look too intently in a mirror, you know. You know, I see too many gray hairs, or I wish for more gray hairs, or, you know, or I see the wrinkles and all of this stuff, you know, sometimes we don't look as intently. Sometimes we look really intently, you know, whether we want to or not, but sometimes we enjoy it a little too much, you know. One of my favorite things, it just always cracked me up when our oldest son, Joshua, when he was learning to drive. One time we were over at the church and he wants to drive. So I say, okay. So we get in the car to drive and he's, you know, he's at that point, he's trying to do everything right, you know? So he's getting the seat adjusted and the mirrors adjusted and everything. So he takes the mirror, the rear view mirror, and he looks at it, and then he looks up in it, and then he like does this, you know, gets his hair all straight, you know. I'm like, oh, you look good, let's go, you know. He's like, you know, he just like, oh, what a good looking guy, you know. It just, you know, I'm like, oh, just drive, you know. So, you know, but we want to look intently, and it's the same way with the word. There are days we want to look intently. There are days we don't want to look too quick. You know, we want to like pass by because we're afraid of what we might get revealed to us. But we have to look intently, you know. And we don't, you know, life dwells. And what James says at the end of verse 25, they will be blessed in what they do. The life of blessing comes from intently engaging Scripture. You know, when we engage Scripture, you know, and so as I read through, the Spirit would, you know, this particular time, you know, draws me to verse 25, and I mull this over in my mind, you know, and for me, you know, again, I could just pass on by, but I want to look it up, but I want to look at the definition. So I meditate, you know, and that. And it says, you know, not forgetting what that they have heard. If you look into, you know, he says, if you look intently into the perfect law, it gives you freedom. Discipline gives you freedom. So I want to look intently at this verse, not just the words, look intently. I want to look intently at this verse. And so I look at that and I meditate on what it means to have discipline so that freedom flows. To understand that at any other walk of life, if you really want to have freedom, if an athlete wants to have freedom on the playing field, they discipline themselves in practice so that they know exactly what's going to happen. You know, if it's in an outdoor, if it's baseball and if it's an outdoor stadium, if it's football and it's outdoor, you know, kickers, when they get ready, they'll go out well before the game, check the weather report. Is it going to be this windy? If I'm kicking this direction, if I'm kicking that direction, and they go through a routine and they discipline themselves so that when they get into the situation, there is freedom to make the adjustments that they need to make. You know, a musician, when they get ready to perform a particular piece, it's the hours of practice and it's the hours of getting that muscle memory going so to understand how the notes are flowing and how, so that when it comes time to have that piece of music flow from them, they have the freedom to get into that performance and adjustments can be made. When I am in the Word, I have the opportunity for the Spirit to work in me and allow the truth to sink in. You know, so if I go through the discipline of looking intently into the Word, then I can find the freedom that I need, and I'm not locked up. So if I get a life situation coming at me, I'm not totally freaked out. You know, if the Word dwells richly in me, a life situation can come, and all of a sudden, the Spirit can remind me of a verse, or remind me of a passage, or remind me of something that I've studied, and I'm more prepared for what's coming at me than just responding and reacting in a way that's just, you know, like everybody else does. You know, friends, after a week of emotional roller coasters, okay, where it varied on the insane, getting it set over Starbucks in their dumb red cup and Christmas, to the horrific, the bombing in Beirut and the bombings and the attacks in Paris. You go through that gamut, and if all you got is what other people are saying around you, we're in trouble. I mean, I'm just going to tell you, we're in trouble. But if we are rooted in the Word, and we have something flowing out of us where the Spirit can speak in these times, then there is something that flows out of us in how we respond or don't respond, how we react or don't react, how we think more proactively rather than reactively. We have to have the Word dwelling richly in us. When I am in the Word, that is the opportunity. And as I walk through this passage in James 1, I can then see how the Spirit wants to apply this to my life. And I can journal it out and I can pray it through. And for me, in my own life, I find myself journaling my prayers lately. You know, and it's a discipline that I'm in currently that helps keep me focused. And again, I know that's a season. There's a season where that'll be how I pray, and there'll be another season I'll pray a different way, and another, you know, it's just how does the Spirit want me engaged? And I try to listen to that, you know. And there could be, it could be so much more. You know, I had the Spirit settle me in on verse 25, so I stayed there. And it's so tempting just to go, oh, well, that's nice, and then go on to verse 26 and go, oh, wow, you know, and you get to verse 26. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. You know, I go, wow, I really unpacked that. But the Spirit had me camp on verse 25 this time around. Now, here's the beauty of the Word. Next time I read James 1, verse 26 will still be there. It won't have melted away, you know? I can let the Spirit say, okay, let's talk about worthless religion in your life, Dan. And then I'll go, oh, look at the time, you know, and off I go to something else, you know? You know, all of this, the Spirit had me camp this time around on verse 25, so I meditated on what it means to look intently, you know? I could get to verse 26 tomorrow. I get to, you know, I get James 2. It's always there. It's so rich. You know, what's your hurry? What's your hurry? This is just one particular way that you can do study. You know, you can use this simple way just to engage the Word in different ways. There are so many more. One of the links that we have on the resource page this week is to a PDF that will walk you through 12 different Bible study methods. You can go from very simple to pretty technical, and just some examples, and you can take your time going through it. I just want to give you a simple one to get started with so that you can engage the Word. But the other key to it is to understand that You do want to have several things that you can engage, several ways that you can engage, so that one way, if it feels like it's drying up, you pick another tool up out of the toolbox and the Spirit says, use this time. You know, and you want to be able to keep engaging that way so that it never runs dry. Study the Word, but study it prayerfully. Let the Spirit engage. Praise the Lord. Let's pray.